Okay, if you have your Bibles, hold up your Bibles. Make sure you got them all today. Everybody got them? The reason I'm doing this, thank you, you can put them down now. The reason I do this every week, I saw this done by another preacher, and I thought it was the coolest thing. But the reason I think it's very important is that we establish the authority right here and now. The authority is God's Word. It's not me, it's not the elders, it's the Word of God. And what we should be preaching and teaching is the Word of God, not what some other person thinks or any of that, but the Word of God. If you look up on the screen right now, here's a perfect example of the authority of the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you believe that? I believe that, and it's true. We don't need any other book but this book right here to be pleasing to God. But we can read the words, but we have to follow them and practice them in our life. And so that's why we always focus on the Word of God as our only authority. I like, when I study with people, I like to talk about this verse a little bit, and I'm going to do that here, take a little bit of time. All Scripture. At the time this was written, only the Old Testament was in written form. But not too long after this was written, the New Testament would be canonized into what it is today. That too is Scripture. So all Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is given by the inspiration of God. You know what that means? That means it's God-breathed. Literally, God-breathed. Some people say, well, it's written by man. It was. But God worked through those inspired writers. And what they wrote, the source of it is God. I always like to do this in Bible study. Hold up your hand and talk right in front of your hand. Do that right now. Say whatever you want. Even if you just said, you can still feel breath coming out onto your hand, right? That's the meaning of inspiration. God breathed into these men to write in their own styles His Word. It's God breathed. The source of all Scripture is God. And it's profitable for all these things. We are going to focus on this one thing this morning, and the instruction in righteousness mentioned in this verse. Have you ever seen people who seem to live the Christian life with ease? What I mean is, it seems to come easy to them. They don't have a problem, it seems. They're struggling with their faith. They're at every assembly. They don't have any side things that distract them. It seems that they really have it together. While other people, it seems like it's a constant struggle. Constant struggle to get to assembly. Constant struggle to pray daily. Constant struggle to read the Scriptures, while other people it seems to come naturally. Why is that? I had a brother-in-law one time, his name was Mike, and he was going through some hard times in his life, and we walked into the congregation there, big congregation down in Riverside, one Sunday morning, and his life literally was just seemed to be falling apart around him. And he told me on the ride home, he says, you know, Jim, when I walk into that assembly, and there was like 300 people there, he said, it seems like everybody I look at seemed to have it all together, living the Christian walk. There were no problems. And then I look at myself, and I feel like I'm out of place because I don't feel like I'm very faithful. I don't feel like I'm very strong. And he felt out of place. And I believe he did. But in reality, we all struggle from time to time. We like to hide it, don't we? You know, when we're driving in the car or to church building to worship in the assembly and we're walking in, you know, we have all these things in our mind and we walk in and we put on our happy face, you know, walk in and we seem like we have it all together. But in fact, some of us don't. Some of it's a struggle. But for others, man, it's great. The Christian life is great. Why is that? How do those people who seem to struggle less with their faithfulness seem to do it with such ease? That's a good question. And we're going to focus on that question this morning. And I hope this lesson will encourage those who are faithful in Christ to continue on living a faithful Christian life and be faithful to Christ and to our Father, Jehovah God. And I hope this lesson will give those who seem to be struggling with their faith and their faithfulness to the Lord something to meditate on, to think on this week. I really want you to think about what I'm going to say this morning. Think about it during the week. And hopefully you will see in your life where you need to make some changes. Because even those people who seem to have it all together, and some of them do, and some of them have it with ease, they weren't always like that. They struggled, and they made changes in their life along the way, and they became stronger, and they became a pillar of the church here in this place. But if you're not feeling like that pillar, maybe you feel like my brother-in-law felt, oh, these people have it all together, but here I am, what am I doing here? Think about these things this morning. The title of this lesson this morning, or one thing, let me say this. You know, as a preacher and as a shepherd of this congregation, I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. Only God knows, and only you know your own heart. So let each of us honestly examine our own lives and see how we measure up to God's word. The message, the title of this morning's message is The Right Mix. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Jake read that. But coming up to that, the writer of Hebrews is talking about people who were sliding back into Judaism. Christians who were sliding back into Judaism. And if they slid back into Judaism and leaving the body of Christ, leaving the faith, leaving the gospel of Jesus Christ, the New Testament Christianity, and sliding back into the old ways again, they were going to miss out on heaven, pure and simple. They're going to come short of it, he says in verse 1. They're going to fall short of heaven, of that rest, that eternal rest. And basically, he refers back, and in chapter 3, he talks about the people in the wilderness that he had just brought out of wilderness, the Hebrews. And we're going to read a text this morning back there. Because I want you to focus on Joshua and Caleb this morning. Because those two cats had it together. Okay? A little 60s talk there. But anyway, they had it together. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. But he, in chapter 3, he says, these people, because of their unbelief, they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe God could do what he said. Even though they had saw all those great things, the water parting, the death of the Egyptians chasing them, the manna every day, all these miracles, and they still didn't believe. And so God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And if you notice this, if you're back there in chapter 4, he says, was it not with those who sinned whose corpses fell in the wilderness? I've always found that interesting. Whose corpses? He didn't say their bodies, their live bodies. He said their corpses. They were already dead spiritually. They just had to die physically. And once all that happened, and a believing generation, they could go into the promised land like God intended for that group to do, but they didn't do it. There's a great message, all kinds of great messages here. And I'm starting to get distracted by going off all over the place. So let's focus back in, Jim. Okay, but that's what he says in verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, to us, those in the New Testament, those who were slipping away. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The right mix. Basically, I'm going to ask you at the end of the lesson this morning, do you have the right mix to make it to heaven? Or are you going to fall short? Fall short. So, that's the lesson this morning. I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. This is the story of Joshua and Caleb. Children of Israel had just come out of Egyptian bondage. All those great things they had witnessed. And it's been about a year and a half since they came out. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to read verse 26 through 14, verse 10. They had seen all those great things, and God brought them right up to the door of the promised land. And he says, listen, select some spies, go in and spy out the land and come back and report. So that's what they do, and they're coming back. Verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And it describes elsewhere how wonderful this was. Grapes as big as your head. Okay? And so it's great. All right? Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Can't you just see him showing them all this? Look at this. It's unbelievable. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and they're giants. 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. And then, I think there's a little break here. What does he hear? There's something missing here between 29 and 30. You know what's missing? What's going to happen to us now? They start murmuring in verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take the possession, for we are well able to overcome it. God had already promised it to them. 31. But the men who had gone up with him, the 10 other spies, were not able to go up against the people. We are not able to go up against people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried out. And the people wept that night. Oh, verse 2, that's not in the text. Oh, I just threw that in there. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And then someone shouts out. And they said unto one another, let us select a leader and let's return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. You know what he's saying there? We would say, we're going to eat you like our lunch. That's what he's saying there. Okay? We would say that way. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to them, said to stone them with stones. Well, didn't quite turn out very good for them, did it? Three things stand out to me about Joshua and Caleb that I believe led to their strong character, that led them to having the right mix or the right stuff to be so faithful to the Lord. And that's what we're looking at. How do we get that kind of faith? How do we get it? Look at their character. Number one, they were committed. They were committed. As I read this text, I thought how special, how different Joshua and Caleb were from the other people around them. It made me think of those men who put their lives on the line to begin the space race, the space program. They refer to these guys as the right stuff. They had the right stuff. Do you remember this? Some of you older people are shaking your head. Oh, I remember this. Some of you younger people, no. Who are these guys in these shiny suits? Okay? These were a group of pilots from the 50s and 60s. And they would go on to become the first astronauts that we had to go and explore space. Some of the people you see here were the first. One of them, the guy in the middle of the back row, I believe, was the first guy who went into space. And then John Glenn is in the first row, second from the right. On the first row, he's very well known. He orbited the Earth for the first time. And you're talking about they went in test flights. They went in all these experimental vehicles. They put their lives on the line so that we could make it into space. They had a lot of characteristics that all came together to make them special, these guys. They're called the right stuff. They had the right stuff. Movies have been made about them. Okay? They had courage. They were fearless. They had piloting skills. They had all these things come together at one time. But the the most important quality that they possessed was commitment. They were committed to doing this. They didn't back down. They had courage and all this. They had skill. But they had to be committed to that program. They were committed to the idea that what they were doing was important to the well-being of the United States, and certainly it was. They were committed to the challenge that lay ahead for them, because it was a challenge. They were committed to being successful, and they were successful. They were committed to each other and the efforts being made by everyone in that program. The hopes of the United States were put on these guys. They had the right stuff. They had the right mix at the right time for the space program. They had the right mix. Joshua and Caleb had the right stuff too. They had the right mix. They were committed to God and they were determined to do God's will. God told the people that he would give them that land. Their protection was gone. God was on their side. They were going to be as food, devoured by them. He told them this. God did through Moses and Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb believed it. And they were right to believe it. They believed God at his word and they were committed to him. So the first thing we need to have the right mix is commitment to the Lord. Do you have that same commitment as Joshua and Caleb? I'm working for that commitment. I don't think I'm there yet, but I'm working for it. I know it's out there. I know what it looks like. I just have trouble getting me to convince to do that all the time. But I'm getting better at it, to be committed to the Lord. The second thing they had was perseverance. Joshua and Caleb remained steadfast to the Lord. They were not moved away from God due to the pressures around them. And man, they were huge pressures. Remember verses 6 through 10. The people said, let's stone them. Let's be done with these two. They don't know what they're talking about. Then we can go back to Egypt. Let's kill them. You know, I teach school, as you know. And I taught sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And I talk about politics a lot. Okay, what do you do with a politician who you're not happy with? You know what they always say first? Kill him. I say, no, killing is not the answer. I'm trying to get him to see. Killing is not the answer. Vote him out, yes, but don't kill him. Look at right here. So Joshua and Caleb said, God told us, this land is ours. Even though they're giants, we can take them. This land is ours. We just go in there. In fact, Caleb says, let's go right now. Let's don't wait. Let's go right now. And what did they say? Let's kill them. Mind you, Jesus too, doesn't it? Jesus brought the gospel. What are you going to do with Jesus? Let's kill him. And they did it. They killed him. But that was God's plan. Okay? Joshua and Caleb spoke to the people and tried to convince them to obey God, to seek his favor and obedience, and be rewarded with the promised land, but the people would not have any of it. They didn't want to hear that. They sought rather to stone them to death for the message that they brought. Joshua and Caleb went on about their life. They remained faithful to the Lord. They remained committed. They persevered following the Lord. Persevere means to keep on doing what you're doing. They did that. And guess what? God rewarded their faithfulness and perseverance. I'm not going to read this text to you now, but if you want to go over to Numbers, chapter 14, verses 6 through 15, you'll see how God rewarded them. Of all the people, the millions of people over the age of 20 years old, when this text that we just read, when Joshua and Caleb gave the report, of those millions of people, only two above the age of 20 years old made it. That was Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else, their corpses fell in the wilderness, as Hebrews chapter 3 says. At that time, Joshua and Caleb were around 40 years old. Joshua went on to become the leader of God's people and received his portion in the promised land. Caleb, I'm going to preach a lesson on this, I just have to. Caleb went on with special strength at an old age. He talks about in Numbers. He says, I'm 85 years old now, Lord. I'm 85. I still have the strength that you gave me when I was 40. He gave him that strength. And at 85, he said, give me this mountain. Give me this inheritance. And he inherited Hebron. And you know where Hebron was in? Lower part of Canaan. And it was all populated by the Philistines or the Anaks. Guess who he had to fight to get Hebron? The giants. The biggest, baddest people in Canaan. That's who he had to fight. And guess what? He fought them. He beat them. And Hebron was his. That was his inheritance. God rewarded their faithfulness and their perseverance. So the second thing we need to have the right mix, is perseverance. And then the third thing is we have to have the right association. We have to be around the right people. Our text in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says that they did not profit from the word that they heard because they did not mix it with faith in those who heard it. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Greek word here used has a metaphorical sense attached to it. The metaphor was something like this. Your body has all kinds of fluids and natural substances in it. And if you take a nutritional substance and you put it in your body, in order for it to work, you have to take the right amounts of it. You mix it with the right amount of body fluid and substance, and it benefits you. Mary was telling me some people have problems with their thyroids. And if you wake up in the morning, some of you on thyroid medicine know this. If you take your thyroid medicine, you have to take it like an hour before you eat or drink anything else. That's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning. And you have to take it and then not eat for a while. But then you can eat and it works. It profits your body. But if you wake up, take your thyroid medicine, and it'd be big breakfast and drink coffee and everything right after you take your thyroid medicine, it has no benefit. It does not profit you one bit. You're still going to have your thyroid problem. That's what this is talking about, okay? That's the word that's used here. They did not mix. What does that mean? The writer here is talking about is when people heard the words of God spoken through Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, they did not receive it and mix with those people who had the same spirit and willingness to believe God. What they're talking about there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, they did not associate with the right people who had faith and believed in God. All those people, they should have gravitated to Joshua and Caleb and let some of that faithfulness and perseverance and commitment rub off on them. But instead, what do they want to do? They wanted to kill them. They separated themselves. Okay? In other words, they rebelled against God and His Word and did not associate with those who believed God. Joshua and Caleb stuck together. They were not pulled apart from each other as they believed God. The other people had rebellious spirit and associated with those who believed like them. I found this quote, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble." Proverbs 13:20. And that's just what this is talking about. They did not mix with people who believed God, who heard the word and believed it and followed God. That's what they failed to do. And so all that message of salvation and rest in the promised land didn't profit them a bit. None of them saw the promised land because they didn't do the right things. Okay? So the third thing we need, the correct association with people like precious faith. We talk about that all the time. We want to associate with people of like precious faith and spirit. So the third thing you need in the right mix is associations. Be around the right people. Don't be around the world who doesn't believe God and thinks it's a bunch of hogwash. Be around people who believe in God. And that'll help you out as well. So, instruction in righteousness or right living, getting back to that first scripture we looked at. Going back to the question we wanted to answer this morning. How do those people who seem to struggle less with being faithful to God seem to do it with such ease? The answer is they have the right mix. They have the right mix. Do you have the right mix? We're going to talk about this. They have commitment. They mix their faith and obedience has led them to have a great commitment to the Lord. People in the congregation who seem to serve God with ease, they have a commitment to the Lord. The Lord is first in their life. They are committed to Him. They are determined to follow the Lord, to do His will. That's called perseverance. No matter what comes their way, good times and bad, this is what Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Add to your faith virtue. That virtue is determination, perseverance. That no matter what happens, I'm going to follow God. And they're going to receive that reward from God for doing it. And then they have the right association. They associate with people who have the same spirit and willingness to follow God. They believe like I believe. People of like precious faith. They're not telling me this is not right. It is right. They associate with them. I prefer to be around other people. People who are faithful in Christ Jesus and live the Christian life. Romans chapter 8 verse 10. They in honor give preference to one another. In other words, they would choose to be with other Christians than people in the world. People who are living the faithful Christian life have the right association. They would rather be with other Christians. Period. People of like precious faith. So this morning, do you have the right mix? To those who are spiritually strong in the faith in the Lord, do not grow weary in well-doing. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Remain faithful unto death and receive the promise that God has made you of crown of life. Revelation 2:10. And be like those people be like those people, Joshua and Caleb, who received their rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, the rest that is mentioned there is not the promised land, not the promised land in Canaan, in Palestine today. The rest that for us is heaven. So if you're faithful in Christ Jesus this morning, keep doing what you're doing. But also, if you see others around you who are struggling with their faith, try to encourage them to do better, to be more committed, more determined, and to associate more with Christians. You might invite them over for some fellowship or take them out to dinner and start building that bond that they may not have. That's how we can help others. Because the worst thing we can do, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, is to come short of heaven. The Grecian games is what the writer's thinking there. The games where they're running around the track or whatever they're doing. And the one who wins gets the victor's crown. And the one behind him, no matter if they're 1 inch, 1 foot, 1 mile, they come short. And they don't get the victor's crown. The worst thing we can do is to come short of our rest. Those people back in Joshua and Caleb's time came short of it because they did not believe God at his word. They didn't have the right mix. So if you're here this morning and you are struggling in your faith, if you're here this morning, your faith is hit and miss, please consider God's word we have looked at this morning. Those things are written beforehand for our learning. Romans 15:4. They can teach us to live righteous lives. God's word teaches us to live righteous lives. 2 Timothy 3:16. Please mix what you have heard with your faith, because I know you have faith, the faith you do possess, and press forward to be the best you can be. Have the right mix. God's instruction, putting it together, be committed, be perseverant, and associate with people of like precious faith. If you need to make changes in your life, then start making those changes. This is not a sermon where you need to come forward unless you really feel the need and would like us to pray for you. We would love to do that. But you can take this message and let it sink in this week and meditate on it. And then start making some changes. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen as soon as you walk out. As soon as we say the closing prayer, this message is going to go right out the window. You know, some people ask me, what did you preach on last week, Jim? Let me see here. Let me see here. You know, it happens even to the preacher. Be careful. Don't let the devil get in there and start putting all these appointments in front of you and get your thought off of this lesson. Keep this lesson in your mind. Think about it. Meditate on it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Open the text and read it. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Go back to Numbers and read that text. Oh, yeah, I remember now. And think about that lesson. Do I need to make changes? And then repent. That's what repentance is. Making changes to where you can be more pleasing to God. This morning, if you're here and you're faithful in Christ, keep on keeping on. If you're here this morning, you're not faithful in Christ Jesus. You are a member of the body of Christ, but you haven't been living faithful. Think about this message. This morning, if you're here and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're going to fall short, I'm telling you right now. Because guess what? Everybody who is going to make it to heaven are those people who are obedient to God's will. And if you have not obeyed the gospel yet and been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, if you've not been added to the body, the church, the kingdom that belongs to Christ, you're not going to make it. Simply because you haven't obeyed the gospel. So you're going to fall short. I can tell you that right now. And in eternity, if you don't obey the gospel, you're going to remember the words that I'm speaking to you right now. You're going to remember it for an eternity. Jim said I would fall short, and guess what? He was right. I should have listened. It's not Jim telling you. It's the Lord telling you. Don't fall short. Obey the gospel. Look how much patience he's had. He's brought you here to hear the message. Here's the message again. Don't fall short. Obey the gospel. Whatever's holding you back, get rid of that. You know what's holding you back? The devil's working on you. That's what's holding you back. Hopefully, prayerfully, you will say, I've had enough with that. I'm going to obey the gospel. I'm going to start learning what God wants me to do, and I'm going to start doing it. Some of you have been rejecting it over and 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 over. And it's going to end someday. There's not going to be another chance. you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Everything is ready. We can baptize you into Christ this morning. You can become a child of God, added to the body that Jesus saves, his body. You can start living faithful to the Lord from this day forward. If you need to respond this morning, please do so right now while we stand and sing.